No servant can serve two masters. Why? Well, for either he will hate the one, love the other, else he'll be loyal to the one, despise the other. From the lips of Jesus, you cannot serve God and mammon, or worldly wealth.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. We are delighted you've tuned in for Pastor Bill's study in the Epistle of 1 Timothy today. On the program, Pastor Bill concludes the message, The Truth About Money. Let's listen in.
Did he say that the rich man was a thief? No. Did he say that he was a bad daddy or a bad family man? He didn't say that at all. Jesus said, this man is a fool. And why did he say that? Because the rich man trusted in the abundance of things, money. In other words, he lived life on earth without God. He died without God because of things. The abundance of things. Let me tell you something. Life is never going to be found in possessions. It's never going to be found in bigger barns. There's nothing wrong with having a bigger barn, but don't think you can find life there. Okay? Come on. Are y'all with me? Are you getting ready to throw stones at me? Don't do that. No, the abundance of what we possess is found in one man. His name is Jesus Christ. He's our Lord. Amen. He's the way. He is the truth. He is the life. No one comes to the Father except by him. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Amen. Yes, Jesus. And look what Paul says. This is probably one of your favorite verses. You have it on your refrigerator. And having food, that the word is only found here in the New Testament, okay? It means sufficient supply of food. And having food and clothing, there's another word only found here in the New Testament. It means covering, but probably it means shelter, like an adequate place to live. So having food and clothing or a home, with these things we shall be what? Content. Now, is Jesus saying here, is he endorsing poverty? No, of course not. Poverty is an abomination to God. No, there are many rich people in the Bible, many rich Christians today, many rich Christians then. So, but here's the problem. He said, okay, you got enough to eat and you got a roof over your head. Are you content? Do we have more than that? Oh, come on. Come on. Let's be honest. I mean, how many of you don't have a dishwasher? How many of you don't have a microwave? God bless you. Do you know, Becky and I don't know how long ago it was. She can correct me, but I think we've got our first microwave about 8 or 10 years ago or something. You know what I mean? Now, that doesn't mean that we're holy. It just means that we didn't have one. And, you know, I mean, when I grew up, we washed dishes in the sink. So the thing is that we have so much, don't we? So are you content? And that's what he's asking right here. Listen, we live in a world of TV and newspapers and advertisements. And what do they tell us all day long? You need more. You need this, or you're not going to be content. And matter of fact, if you will buy this, that's right, just hold on, buy this. Guess what? For 50% less, we'll send you one more of them. You can have two of the same thing. Those info commercials, you know? And if you do it quickly, we'll even give you a pair of steak knives and whatever it is. You know, we live in a generation that is absolutely crazy. You know, well, my house is too small. Well, if you moved from California, it probably was. You know, and you moved to Texas, you made a fortune on your home, you came down here and you said, oh my gosh, these people are stupid. Look, I can buy a home. Look at, you know what? Now look at our prices because of you guys from California. Everything's gone up. So my house is too small. My house is too big. Oh, I get weary walking into my large closet. Oh, the shoe rack. Oh my gosh, I got all that dust on all those shoes. Come on, you open the door, the light comes on your closet. You don't even have to pull. Oh, you don't do that. I do. You know, I do. I still have the pull string. Isn't that sick? There's something holy about that. You know, think about it. I mean, you know, we're so miserable, are we not? Are we content? Well, I have a two-car garage. No, actually, in my new home, we have three cars. Three-car garage. Wow. I can't park in them, though, because they're full. Listen, every Christian should learn to master money and not let money master you. You know why? Jesus told us, Luke 16:13, no servant can serve two masters. Why? Well, for either he will hate the one, love the other, else he will be loyal to the one, despise the other. You cannot, from the lips of Jesus, you cannot serve God and mammon, or worldly wealth. See, wealth should be the Christian's servant. Do you understand? Money should work for you. You should not work for money. Amen? Boy, that's so important. So he says there, now, but those in verse 9 who desire, that word crave, it's like those who have a calculated plan to get rich, okay? But those who desire to be rich fall, continually fall, actually, into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, and look what happens, which drown men in destruction and perdition. So those who, man, they have a plan. I want to be rich. Listen, I knew a man went to Baylor University, and when he went there, he started mowing yards, okay? And by the time he graduated from Baylor, he was mowing 700 yards. In other words, he had a company. And when I met him, he told me he read, Sam Walton, remember him? Whatever that first book that Sam Walton about being successful, he read that every day. His only desire was to become a multimillionaire. He came by here about, 4 or 5 years ago. And he said, Bill, man, God's just blessed all this. I said, yeah. And he came in, and I called him by his name. And I said, well, you always told me you wanted to be a millionaire. Did you make it? And he says, many times over. He said, I'm president, I'm on the board of two banks now, and I have, 600 homes in Fort Worth and all those things. You know what I'm saying? But there was a craving and an emptiness and a constant want. I'm not condemning that man. He's a good man, except he loves money. Does that make sense? He said he put his trust and his hope in having things. And the more things he could have, he felt he had more security, which that is a total lie, loved one. Listen, those who crave or desire to be rich, what happens? What do they fall into? The first thing is enticement. In other words, they're tempted. And from enticement, they go into entrapment. And entrapment leads them to many hurtful, and foolish, harmful lusts. And what do all those things do? Those who love money, it says they drown that person. Look at it. Which drown men. The image there is of a person being forced or plunged under the water, and they're drowning. They didn't go to the top. They went to the absolute bottom. They plunged into ruin, it says, and they plunged into perdition. Now, and then there's that last fall of that person who loves money and who doesn't love God. And that's when they fall into the hands of the living God, and that is for punishment. The Bible says this in Proverbs 11:4, riches do not profit, or they're worthless in the day of wrath, meaning God's wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Listen, possessions should never possess us. Amen? They shouldn't do that. There are things that I love at my home that I would not want to give away. I mean, let's be honest. All of us are that way. But there are other things I'd love to give away. You know, wouldn't you like to? You ever been to an estate sale? I mean, where do those people get all that stuff? I mean, I'm blown away. I like to get rid of stuff. I mean, how many coffee cups do you need? You know, I mean, I looked open at my cupboard and I'm going, why do we have so many different coffee cups? And my wife goes, because the church gives them to us. God forbid that I ever get rid of one of those cups because, you know, I gave you that cup 5 years ago, Bill. Where is it at? No. Listen, what happens? Why does all those things happen? Why does it drown people, money, all kinds of hurt and things in their life? Look at verse 10. It tells us why. For the what? Love. The love of money is A, not the. The love of money, don't that word, well, the love of money is the root. No, it is not. The love of money is a root. Riza in the Greek, it means the root as a source. So the love of money is a root or a source of all kinds of evil, not good things, all kinds of evil, the love of money, which some, talking about those false teachers and whoever loves money, have strayed from the faith in their greediness. In other words, they were eager and eager for more money and pierced themselves through with many what? Sorrows. The truth about the love of money, the lust for wealth, okay? Man, it's linked to all kinds of evil. Why? Because the love of money has a root system, a horrible root system. You know, it is tragic when people put their trust in what they have, money. They put their hope in money. Money's not bad. I'm not saying that. But look what it's done. They strayed from the faith. They walked away from God. Why? Gold replaced the Lord. I'd rather have gold than God. Not only that, it teaches us or them that God is not their provider. Money is their provider. Man, money is not our provider. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. Amen. I guarantee you, everything that you have, I know you've worked hard for it and all those things, but if you ever think that that's not from God, you have a problem. Everything we have, the air that you're breathing right now in your lungs, comes from Almighty God. Amen? He is our provider. God owns everything. We are only stewards of what we have. Amen? Now, so it says they've strayed and so forth, but look at this last one. They pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That word sorrow in the Greek speaks of a continuous, consuming grief, okay? In other words, everything that they did, lovers of money, it was all self-inflicted. They did it to themselves. And the love of money, like I just said, it's the root of all kinds of evil. And you've heard me say this many times, money's not bad. I'd take some more money because I'm not a lover of money. I mean, I'll take it, but do you understand? It doesn't rule me. Now, money is immoral. Money doesn't have life, okay? I mean, like I said in the first service, if you have who's on a $100 bill? It's a person? It's a president. Who is it? Grant? I don't care who's on it. Elvis Presley. Okay, there's a $100 bill, and whoever that person is, you know what I mean? Let's take a $1 bill. It's Washington, right? Okay, you don't hear George go, money doesn't have life. He goes, George doesn't go, hey, man, you know, I want to do a good thing today, you know? Well, you're just a dollar, George, shut up. You know, do you understand? It doesn't work that way. It doesn't have life. It cannot act on its own. It's money. It's just money. George can't do good deeds. He doesn't have the power to do anything good. He doesn't have the power to do anything evil. Money can only do whatever the owner of the money wants it to do. Do you understand? You know, in your back pocket, if you have cash, probably people don't carry cash anymore, but you have that little credit card. You got a little heart. Your heart. You walking through the grocery store. Oh, I like that. That money didn't do that. You did it. Hey, yeah, I thought so. There's some ooms out there. No, listen. Whenever you look at a nation, ours or any, look how what they do with money. That tells you a lot about the nation. Look at our government. That tells you a lot about what they do with money. Do you understand me? Look at people. You want to look at people, and what they do with their money tells you a lot about them, because it's what they do with money. Now, you know, some people, especially today, loved one, you know, we live in the last days, and evil men and imposters will come worse and worse. Amen? And we know we're living in the last days. We know we're living in perilous times. And you know what? People will do anything for money. Money just sets people off. You know, people who love money. If you're on a street corner, you know, the guys that hold up the signs, and now there's women out there. And you know, Becky stops and gives them money and all that, and that's good if the Lord leads. You follow me? Yeah. But the thing is, if I walked up to one of those people or any person, and I said, here is a brand New Testament, but here is a $100 bill, which one would they take? They'd take the $100 bill. Do you understand? But the New Testament was the most valuable. Do you see what I'm getting at? Because they think money is the answer. Money is not the answer. Money's great to have. It's great to manage it God's way and so forth and know where it comes from. But man, listen, you know, people today, people will murder for money. They'll sell their body for money. They will rip off the elderly for money. You know, just the other day, Becky was telling me that down there, you know, we're on the neighborhood watch thing. And so these two guys came up to the house and knocked on the door. But, you know how you have a glass door? It's not a screen door, but it's a glass door. But it was locked, and they knocked on the door. So, we've got some stuff, I guess, to show you. I want to talk to you about it. So she was talking to them through the glass, and they said, "Ma'am, we just can't hear you. Would you be kind enough to open the door, unlock it, and open the door so we can hear what you're saying?" And she put her hand thinking, and then she stopped and called her husband, who was in the other room. The moment the husband came to the glass door, those two guys took off running. You follow me? Listen, they were going to rip her off. We live in a world where people will do anything. They'll even risk their life in prison forever to embezzle or to steal. Why? It's the love of money. We live in a land today, a society that sells children for sex, for money. They'll take human life and profit from it. They'll take the human life of a little girl, a little boy, and profit from it. Why? Because we live in a society that has lost its ability to value human beings. And that is the world that we live in right now, where money is more important than human life. What a sad, sad thing. Money never, never can satisfy. It's good to have it. It's good to have your bills paid. Don't get me wrong. We need to be wise with money. I'm certainly not saying you should never save or have a retirement. That's not what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about loving money. That's the truth. Now, the Bible tells us that money doesn't satisfy. It says in Ecclesiastes 5:10, "He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver. You'll not be content with silver. And he who loves abundance with increase." It's vanity. See, money, listen, you can have all the money in the world and it'll leave you disappointed. It'll leave you empty in this life. Why? Money cannot satisfy. And here's the problem. We grow up and we're told if you have enough money, you'll be secure. Am I right? If you just have enough money in the bank, you know what? You'll never have to worry. Is that true? No. You think if you had $10 million in the bank, would you worry? Yeah, you'd worry about what am I going to do with it? You'd worry about how I'm going to keep it. You'd worry about, I don't want my relatives to know where I'm at. Do you understand? No, it doesn't prevent worry. Does it reduce certain things? Of course it does. You know, but it's not the answer. You know, the love of money doesn't satisfy. It only causes a person to want more and more. Someone said this years ago in the old Reader's Digest. I don't even know if it's still out today, but it says, "Money will buy a bed but not sleep. Money will buy books but not brains. Money will buy food but not an appetite. It'll buy finery but not beauty, a house but not a home, medicine but not health, luxuries but not culture, amusements but not happiness. It'll buy religion but not salvation, nor will it buy a passport to heaven." You see, don't put your hope, not that you will or doing that, but it's good to remember, don't put your hope or trust in money. I tell you, God will provide your every need. Boy, just look to him. "Seek ye first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Do you believe that, Matthew 6:33? All these things that you need in life, Jesus, I'll take care of you. Listen, Jesus told us in Matthew 6:19, he said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth." Don't store them all up. He says, "Moth and rust destroy, thieves break in and steal. But lay up treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure, church, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now listen, your treasure doesn't follow your heart. Your heart follows your treasure. Amen? Oh, listen, how do we lay up? Just look at verse 17. We're going to close, but just look at verse 17. You know, we're going to go over this next Sunday, the Lord willing. He says, because there were rich people in the church at Ephesus. He says, "Command these, those who are rich in this present age, not to be haughty," don't be puffed up because you got a lot of money, "nor trust in" what kind of riches? "Uncertain riches." Listen, you can be rich today and broke tomorrow. Amen? Yeah. He says, don't trust in that. Don't put your faith in that. He says, don't trust in certain riches, but trust in a certain God, the living God, which gives us richly all things to what? Enjoy. Did you know that word's in the Bible? I mean, maybe you think that's a mistranslation? It says all things. Did you catch that? All things to enjoy. It says let them do good. Why? Well, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up, or that word literally, amassing treasure for themselves, a good foundation for the time to come, meaning the present age to the future age in heaven, for the time to come. Why? Well, that they may lay hold of eternal life, seize eternal life. We're in a revolution. The violent take it by force. Amen? Oh, listen, godliness with contentment is great gain. There's not one thing that God won't provide for you. You don't have to worry. I was on a driving trip with a pastor, and we were looking at a place to hold for the camp for kids. So it was a long drive, and we were talking about, you know, raising families and so forth. And I said to the pastor, I said, Pastor, because he's a young man with children, I said, there's only one thing you need to know. And I said, well, what is it? I said, you need to stop worrying right now. He says, but you don't understand. I've got, you know, they're little. I got to protect. I said, listen, trust me, I'm old. All the things that I worried about, I shouldn't have because God did it all. I said, just instead of worrying, just say, God's got it. He knows exactly what, he knows exactly what your kids need because you love them. They belong to him and they're under your stewardship. Amen. You don't have to worry. Listen, God really will take care of you if you just believe him. Amen. It doesn't mean we're all going to be rich. It doesn't mean we're all going to have everything that we need in this life. But you know what? What do we need? I want more of him. I want more of the Holy Spirit. I want to see miracles. I want to see God move. Amen. That's more than anything. That's more than all the money can buy. We need to be a revival like Wesley. Whenever Wesley went in to preach, bars would close down. And not only that, the whole town would get saved. Because the power of God was moving. Listen, we need that in our nation right now. We need it now in this city. We need it now. Oh, Jesus said, oh, what profit is if a man gains the whole world? What profit is it if a person gains the whole world but loses his soul? I mean, just think right now. Michael, if all of a sudden you are over the entire world. Jimmy, you're over the entire world. You, man, you're the man. You own it. But you only have a few years to live. So you gain the whole world. You, okay, I have it. But you lose your own soul. But what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Does your soul, do you know Christ? Does your soul have a price? Are you selling out to the world? Are you selling out to things? Do you have a price on your soul? Do you know Jesus? Jesus, what would you give in exchange for? I know what God would give. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he did something. He gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him would not perish, not go to hell, but have everlasting life. And maybe you're here and you just say, Bill, you know what? I don't know that I am saved. I don't know that Jesus is my Lord. I don't know that I've ever asked him to be my Lord. Well, if that's you, listen, raise your hand and say, Bill, pray for me. Anyone at all before I close in prayer, God bless you. I see your hand. God bless you, sir. Anyone else? Quickly. Anyone else say, Bill, that's me. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. You that are listening live, you lifting up your hand too? Well, I want you to pray with me as well. I want all the church, you that lifted your hands, you pray this prayer right now. Church, help me out. Say, Father, I heard the truth. Jesus is the only way. I want him to be my Lord. I want him to save me. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. Be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. You promised if I would confess Jesus as my Savior and believe it in my heart. You would save me. I believe. Save me, Lord. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. And the church says, Amen.
Pastor Bill's study from 1 Timothy continues on tomorrow's program, and we look forward to seeing you once again. Thanks, everyone, for listening today. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.